The reading this morning is 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The second reading is from Matthew. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done." When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life."
Good morning. Let's pray before we get going. Lord, thank you for your love and your goodness. Thank you that you're here with us, Lord. We take every thought and imagination into captivity, and we submit it to your obedience, O Lord. We give your Holy Spirit free rule and reign here. Speak to our hearts and our minds, Lord, that you would be glorified. In Christ we pray. Amen. So I'm not sure what this means, Jacob. So this is the third time I've preached at LMCC. So the first time I actually got the 11th floor at 2 DeBrasse Street. It was like, oh, that's cool, so I get to do that. So the next time I get asked to preach, it's in the dungeon. It's in the basement of LMCC. I mean, you can't even see anything. It's like, oh my gosh, you know. So we make it there. So the third time I get asked to preach, it's in a firehouse. And it's like, so what is that, Jacob? Help me with this, will you? Something personal? So when I was asked to preach, I knew what I would preach on right away. And it comes out of the 23rd Psalm. And I actually knew the title right away, which is kind of unusual. Usually I have to labor on this stuff for a while, but I knew right away. So the title of this sermon is actually two titles, Leader or Follower. And the subtitle, if you will, is The Road Less Traveled. So we heard the 23rd Psalm. Probably everybody's heard that before. Yeah? Everybody still awake? Good. Yeah. Haven't put them to sleep yet. So there's one line in there, in the third verse, that talks about leads me, right? Leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. I think this said guides, but same word. When you go back and look it up in the Hebrew, it's the same word, lead or guide us in paths of righteousness for his namesake. So what is it? He leads us. He leads us. Who? God himself. Think about that. God himself leads us in paths of righteousness. Why does he do that? Why? Why would he bother? Why would he bother with me? If you knew me, you'd wonder, like I do, why would you do that? He does it for his name's sake. His name's sake. For himself. Why is that? Well, at the very core of it, he created us, you and me. If you read Scripture, it tells us he knew us before the foundations of the world. So if you think last year was a long time ago, try going back to like before the foundations of the world. He knew you. He knew when and where and how he creates you and he put you together. You're his kids. We're his kids. We always were. We always will be his kids. Why did he do that, right? Simple. To have a loving relationship with his children. That's us. So we can love and worship him. That's why we're here. That's why he leads us in paths of righteousness. And remember, he first loved us. It wasn't because we were like really cool. It's like, oh, Ivan, yeah, really awesome, doing a great job over there. Love what you're doing, Ivan. Now I'll love you. No, loved Ivan, loved all of us. Before we even understood love, before we were even created, he loved us. So you ask, any other mentions of leading in the Bible? Well, yeah, a whole bunch. So I picked a few samples, a bunch out of Matthew. So Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. So he's talking to Andrew and Simon. They're fishermen, right? And he's calling them. So he says, very complicated, come follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. That's really complicated. So they did. They followed him. Okay. So in verse 8, 22, there's a guy that comes up and says, hey, you know, I'd love to follow you, but I got to go bury my father. And he says, follow me, let the dead bury their dead. Another complicated direction. Follow me, right? So Matthew himself is sitting there at a tax collector booth doing what tax collectors did, which is nothing good. And the Lord says, hey, Matthew, come follow me. And he did. Matthew 10:38. Anyone who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. A little different spin, but I think he wants us to follow him. Are we starting to get this follow me thing? So Matthew 16, which we just read, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So in verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 21, there's a rich young guy, pretty hot stuff, probably a lot of rich young guys here in the city, right? Doing it right, being very cool. And he says, hey, doing it all right, what do I need to do to have eternal life? Again, not a complicated answer. Oh, just sell all your possessions, give your money to the poor, and follow me. It's not enough to do great things. It's not enough to give away everything you have. None of that's enough. It's simply follow him. So John 8:12, which I think we had up here, and this is Jesus speaking, said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So there are three things in there I thought were pretty cool. Whoever. Doesn't matter where you've been and what you've done, what you haven't done. It's whoever will follow me. Will never. Not like sometimes. Not like, occasionally you'll be in darkness. Never. And he will have the light of life. So those aren't like maybes. Those aren't like squishy. Those are like done deals. I'm going to guess just about none of those scriptures are new to people. Everybody heard some or most of those before? Yeah. Right. So what's the question? So what's the issue? What's the big deal here? I think it's really a matter of, do we actually follow the Lord? That's the question. Right, so that's why I'm here today to talk about, do we follow the Lord or don't we follow the Lord? And what ought we to do about that? Anybody hear of the Franklin Planner, or Franklin Covey Planner, Day Planner thing? Some of you that are a little closer in age to me probably remember it. It's like a three-ring book. It's the old version of what you do with your iPhone, right? So you've got everything on there. So companies used to do this stuff, and it was like a day and a half seminar. It was unbelievable. So you went in a room, and you had all these people, and they're telling you how to have your life together. So the whole process kind of boiled down to this. You figured out what your big priorities and objectives were, and you map those out every day. So every day you get a page, and it's got all the hours of the day on it. And you list all the things you have to do today. And you list them in priority order. So there's the A section. So you have A1, A2, A3. A1 is the thing you're going to do so you don't get fired, and A2 is the thing that, you know. So you list all these things. Then you have the B section. Now, the Bs don't even get numbered because you're not going to work on those today. There's not time. But ideally, when you finish up all the As, the Bs will transition to the As, and then you'll get numbers on those, and you'll do them. And the same thing with the Cs. The Cs are, you know, way down the bottom. You'll list all the stuff in Cs. So some of my friends really took this thing seriously. So they documented everything. And that's the idea. You document everything. So every meeting you go in, you're working on your A1, you document who was there, what you said, what you did, who's doing what got delegated, how you do it. Whoa, crazy, right? So you document the living daylights out of your life. And I had a couple of friends. These are the most anal retentive people you've ever met. They kept binder after binder after binder. They had shelves full of them. They could tell you anything about their lives on any year. You want to know how many times somebody changed the oil in his lawnmower? One of my friends can tell you that. The date, when he does it, what kind of oil, how many quarts, blah, 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 blah. Everything, his entire life is documented in there. Okay? Crazy. So I would argue if we did that, if we had a Franklin Covey lesson here and we spent a day doing this and you all document your stuff and we had your A's and your B's and your C's, I'm going to guess that actually following Jesus probably is in the B or the C category. It's a great concept and we're all in. We want to do that. But I think the question is, do we actually do it? And I think only you can answer that. I'm not going to try to answer it for you. You take a look at your own day planner and decide, what's my day look like? And I think for most of us, we've got about 30 hours worth of stuff we try to jam into a 24-hour day. We never even get through all the A's, let alone the B's and the C's, right? Fair? Well, if you're not a business person, you could care less about Franklin Covey. Let's talk about food, because I think everybody here eats. So, a friend of mine, middle-aged guy, right, bicycle guy, and he's like a bicycle-aholic. So he does 100 miles every Saturday, does 75 on Sunday. During the week, each weekday, he rides back and forth to work, rain or shine, snow, it doesn't matter, 30 to 40 miles every day, except on the weekends when he does the long rides. This guy's in great shape. He's about this big around him. He is nothing but muscle and bone. It's incredible how good a shape this guy's in. And he, like I say, he's midlife. And so what's he do? He breaks his leg on his bike, of course, right? Can't do anything. Can't exercise. He's got to be stationary. He's up in traction for a while. Got the leg up. So the interesting thing about this guy is apparently he never paid any attention to his diet. Just ate whatever he wanted to eat. And because he was burning up tons of calories a week, he didn't get fat, right? But if you sit for 18 months and you don't lose your appetite and you continue to eat all the junk that you're eating and when you're eating it, his pant size grew about this much, right? Huge. So he gets all frustrated because when his leg gets better and he wants to start biking again, I mean, he's got to get the extra heavy tires because the bike won't hold him anymore. So he calls a professional sports nutritionist, and the first thing the nutritionist says is, hey, listen, I need you for the next 2 weeks before you come in for an appointment, I need you to list every single thing you eat and drink, everything that goes in your mouth, and I need you to document the day and the time. And I need you to document when you go to bed, when you get up, if you take naps, all those things. I need all that documentation because from a nutrition standpoint, then I can tell you how these calories are working for or against you. So I think if we did that with our lives, so whether we took the Franklin Covey approach or whether we took the I'm too fat for my pants approach and listed all of what you ate and when you did it, if we did that in terms of what do we do in our following Jesus, I'm going to guess pretty far down the list, right? I just guessed that. So what does it mean to follow? I guess that's a fair question. I think simply it's focusing on a person. In biblical terms, it's fixing your eyes on Jesus. That's actually a scripture, right? Fixing your eyes on Jesus. So what does that mean? Focus, right? So Jacob, all 6 feet, five of them or whatever he is, right? So if I'm new to New York City, never been here, terrified of the city, terrified of crowds, and Jacob says, hey, you know what? I'm going to take you over to Times Square, 10 o'clock in the evening on December 31st. We're going to go over and enjoy that, right? So Jacob then says to me, hey, you know what? We're going to go across Times Square. I'm going to take you over. Just follow me. Well, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to be about this close to Jacob. His 6'5" frame is not going to be far from my view. Everything he says, everything he does, I'm right there because I am not going to lose Jacob in this sea of people, chaos, and confusion, right? So I am laser focused. I'm going to follow Jacob like nobody's business, right? That's a city example. I'm a country boy, so I think in terms of country. So if somebody says to me, hey, you know, follow me and I'm in a new place, big open field, and then it goes into some vast forest, and they say, hey, follow me. Well, that's great. I'll follow them across the field. How difficult is that? It's a big flat field with short grass. It's like, oh, yeah, there you are. I see you. But if I'm not close to them, when they get to the forest and they wander into the forest, where am I going? I don't want to know anything about that unless I'm really close to that person and going into uncharted territory for me. So if I'm not close to them and I get a chance to go into the forest, where am I going? I'm going to stay in the field. It's safe. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay right where I am. I'll never get to follow anybody in there. So basically focus, or following, if you will, is focus, close proximity, communication, right? You want to hear from somebody that you're following. And it calls for degrees of focus. So following Jacob through Times Square on December 31st at 10 o'clock in the evening, that's real focus. Following somebody across an open field, not so much so. And I would say the danger in our lives is the open field. Open field, I think, represents that things are pretty good. You know what? Got money in the bank, got a job, or we got prospects of a job, or we've got some kind of income coming in. Things aren't bad. Things aren't terrible. We're okay, right? No great catastrophes in our life. We're fine. We're just kind of happy to be in the field. We don't really need to go into that wilderness. We're good. We're good here. And that's where we don't follow. When things are good, we don't follow. Now, is that just us? If you take a look at Hosea, right? So Hosea is an Old Testament prophet, and the Lord spoke through him to speak to the people Israel, and he wasn't too happy. So the Lord says to Hosea to tell Israel in chapter 13, and I'll paraphrase this, hey, I led you out of Egypt. I led you out of Egypt. I watched over you in the desert when things weren't so good. I watched over you in the desert. I fed you until you were satisfied. And then you became proud and walked away from the Lord. And we have a tendency to do that. That happened then, it happens now. When things are going good, it's like, oh yeah. That's like a C priority. Yeah, I'm going to follow the Lord tomorrow, but today I got a lot of really important stuff to do. So that's not new. We lose contact is what we do. Whoever it is we're following across the field, we don't follow them anymore. We don't need to. We're in a field. We're safe. We think we are. So why is it we don't want to follow? Why? Well, on the top of my list, I put free will. I have no idea. No idea why the Lord gave us free will. But he did. And free will says, I'm going to kind of do my own thing. We have some pride. It says so right there in Hosea. We are rugged individuals. We can do it. And I think we're born with it. So if you don't think so, go to a park sometime or watch Abby when she's with Jacob. Because Jacob will be here with Abby, and then Jacob will say, it's time to go. So when Jacob starts to tell Abby, hey, we got to go, which way is Abby going? That way. And she'll stop and look back. And I've seen this happen. And Jacob will say, Abby, come on now. What'd she do? She runs faster the other way. What is she, 15 months? And she's got this thing figured out, right? Kids do that. We do that. Gary talks about it being a rebellious heart. And we have that. We're born with it. If you don't think so, just go to the park today. Sit for an hour and watch kids and their parents. Come on, time to go. Forget you. So let's talk about business stuff. I'm a business guy, so easy for me to talk about business stuff. Leaders and followers in business. Anybody ever read the book Good to Great? Jim Collins? Don't be afraid. Ah, see? We have some out there. So Jim Collins wrote a book, research team, called Good to Great. That is, companies that were good that became great. Key factor in all of that was that the leaders of those companies that became great companies, the leaders were great. Good to have a leader, because you have to have a leader so people can follow. He had five levels of leader. Level one is the one you don't want to be, not so great. Level five is walk on water type leader. And there were a few key things that makes a level five leader. They're visionary. They have a vision. They have a mission. They're on it. It's a compelling vision and mission. Great communicators in writing and verbal. Right? They're brilliant. Really smart people. They're creative. They're inclusive. Great. It can include everybody in work on whatever the vision and mission are. They're demanding, but that's okay. Because I like a boss that's demanding because I really buy into what we're doing. They're charismatic, right? And, most importantly, they reward us. They pay us. Maybe stock options, maybe cash, maybe partnership, maybe you own the business. But they reward us. Another reward, besides the money, is, and I hear this often, I'm part of something bigger than I am. Oh, that's great. That's a good reward. And remember, these leaders, these level five leaders, they choose their followers. They call them, if you will, choose them. Now, those followers, that would be the rest of us, right? We pay really close attention to these leaders. We buy in to the vision. In fact, once we buy into the vision and we're actually part of that team, what do? We develop plans and objectives and goals, right? To help fulfill that vision, to make the leader happy, to make sure that things are going the way they are. Do we just develop them? No, I would argue that we labor. I mean, here in the city, I would argue that we labor long, long, long hours. Crunch time, Saturdays, Sundays. Really, I haven't slept for 2 days, but that's okay because we're on a mission. We got to get this done. We're going to follow that level five leader. Why do we do all that? We do it for a reward. At the end of the day, we do it for a reward. Money, maybe a little promotion, which is more money, a little more power. So I think the question is, are those rewards that we labor for, that we spend all of our time, that are our A priorities, are those rewards temporary or permanent? And I would argue that what we labor for here is temporary. But hey, what if you make a ton of money? I mean, like a ton of money. Can it be more permanent? Well, maybe. So if I make a ton of money and I donate it to the city of New York, they may name a park after me. How cool is that? Put a park here in Soho, and it's the Dane Austin Insurance Park. Awesome, right? Somebody laughed. That's great. So the Dane Austin Insurance Park, it's got a fountain, water coming out of it, and if you really donate a lot, maybe they put like a bronze statue of me. What do you think? Something like that. So 200 years from then, the park's there, and there's this goofy bronze statue, and there's something about Dane Austin did great things in the insurance business. You think the kids playing in the fountain care? No. Think a couple over there making out care? No, they don't care. Nobody cares. It's just a park. Is it permanent? No. We try to make it permanent. We do whatever we can. Bronze statues, get our name in granite. If you put your name in granite, it lasts longer. It doesn't last. We leave it all behind. That's a fact. All that we labor for, we leave behind. Ecclesiastes, which is a great book on midlife crisis. So when you're getting to a midlife crisis, just read the book of Ecclesiastes because it's all about it. It talks about, gee, we do all this stuff in vain. It's a chasing after the wind. And that's the truth. We hate to admit it because we're really important in what we do. But it's true. All right, so back to following Jesus. Why is that so difficult? And I would argue that if level five leader is the top thing with all these attributes, Jesus is about a 5 million level leader. He's got all those goods and more. So why don't we follow him a little more closely? And it goes against our flesh. I think we talked about that a little bit. Was the Lord surprised? Is the Lord surprised that it's hard for us? No, because he said, right in the Gospels, he says, narrow is the gate, and hard is the way, difficult is the path, leads to eternal life. He said that. He said, hey, it's not going to be easy to do this. You ought to, but it won't be easy. Now, broad is the gate, and wide is the path that leads to all the other stuff. He said that. So that's our flesh. So we struggle with this. At least some people, I think, struggle with this. Maybe nobody here. So a couple days ago, I was 22 years old. That's not nice. That is not nice. And then all of a sudden, I'm staring really hard at 59. It's like right there. It's like, wow, how did that happen? Goes by like this. That I can tell you. But in my experience, in between somehow 22 and 59, I understand a few things. I understand that the greater the challenge, the greater the reward. Is following Jesus a challenge? Yeah, absolutely. So do we have to wait for the end till we croak before we get the reward? No, not at all. There's a reward in this day to day that far surpasses anything you can get. You can get money, comes and goes. Promotions come and go, jobs come and go, all that stuff comes and goes. Possessions. The stuff you get in walking behind the Lord, following the Lord along, you'll live a life that's richer, deeper, more meaningful than anything else, I promise you, anything else you can do on the face of this earth. Takes effort. Takes the D word, discipline. Oh, nobody likes it. Maybe you military types like the D word. But where's Dan? I saw Dan out running the other day. He looked pretty disciplined. Said he'd eaten too much when he was up in Boston school, so that's why he was out running. So whatever the reason, you were out running. That's a good thing. It's denying of ourselves. It's listening. We like to talk. We like to think. We like to let our minds wander. We're told in Psalm 46 to be still and know that He is God. Oh, being quiet, that's so hard. Yep, takes practice, takes discipline. Praying, the P word. D word and P word, those are difficult. You talk about a vision and a mission statement. Where's the Bible? I left it over there on the floor. Bible, think about it. It's like the ultimate vision and mission statement. It's infinitely deep. It's all out there. But we have to ask, seek, knock. Other biblical concepts. You want to follow Him? You have to do those things. And why would we do it? Because He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. That's right in Scripture. I don't make this stuff up. So where are you? Only you can answer that, right? Where are you? You look good on the outside, lost on the inside? Or are you just completely lost? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter because if you listen to the parable that the Lord gave us about the 100 sheep, 99 of them are fine. One of them wanders off and gets lost. What's the good shepherd do? Wanders off, finds the one, picks him up, carries him home, takes care of him. So it really doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, what you haven't done, what you thought, what you didn't think, all the things you might have messed up on, all of them. Wherever you're at, call out. He comes and gets you. He comes after the one. 99 are great. Those are taken care of. He's coming after you. You're His kid. So as only the Lord would do. So I go to this big picnic on Friday. Friday, right? After I'm writing this thing. And we go to this giant park. It's about the size of Central Park. 600-700 acres. It's all woods and wandering miscellaneous trails through it. So we're at this, about 60 people. And so a handful of us decide we're going to wander off about 3/4 mile through the woods, through some paths. There's a pool and whatnot over there. So we wander over to that. We've got one guy with us, really a bright guy, bright, articulate, fiercely independent, self-made man. He went with us. We all got over there. He decided he didn't need to follow anybody back. So he left, went on his own. So we all get back, and it's time to go, and everybody's getting on the bus, and it's like, hey, where's so-and-so? Nowhere to be found. Literally, nowhere to be found. So people start hollering, where are you? Some of us walk back down the paths. We're looking for him. Somebody calls, finally calls a cell phone. Man, he got lost. Came back, took a wrong turn, ended up 2 miles off in the woods, came out on some road, got on a bad trail, sprained his ankle, can't walk, crawled out to the road. Somebody gave him a ride over to something. He calls, he's all embarrassed. And so the picnic goes from this really festive, great time to everybody like really anxiety-stricken, what happened to this guy? But then when we found him, there was great rejoicing. So only the Lord would give me that so I'd understood what this 99-in-1 thing is. So if you're lost, call out. You don't even need a cell phone. You can just call out. So here we are in a firehouse, right? So if you think about a fireman in a firehouse, their highest calling, the greatest thing they could ever probably do in their career is pull somebody from a burning building, right?
Because if building down the street burns down and it's an empty building, what's the headlines and what's the article in the paper? Building burns down at whatever street, 100 guys responded, put the fire out. That's it, right? Same fire, same building, got a 2-year-old trapped in a bedroom, third floor, burning building. Fireman risks his life, goes in there, grabs that kid, gets that kid out, and saves the kid. What are the headlines tomorrow? Save the kid. Pull him out of the fire, right? He's going to get rewarded. He's going to get medals. His name's going to be in a plaque in the firehouse. He's going to be revered as a hero. Did great things. Pulled him out. So I say all that to say that, not lost on me why we're here to help us understand this. As we follow Jesus, you really follow him. Hunger after him. Ask, seek, knock, do all those things. In that, something begins to happen with you. You begin to fill the first great commandment, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's not something you do, it's something he does. When we try to pursue him, that changes us. But the cool thing about that, when that starts to happen, you begin to actually fulfill the second command, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. Whether you want to or not, you actually start to love people. And you want to help them. You want to reach them. And so in that, if you think about it, if you follow Jesus, and you begin to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you start to love your neighbor, what are you doing? Your neighbor's the one you're pulling out of the fire. That's exactly what you're doing. They're in distress. And the Lord's sending you to the rescue. And that's our calling. So I hope today we understand that at the end of the day, the most important thing we'll ever do, ever, follow Jesus. Bow your heads. Father God, we thank you for this day, for your words. You know us, Lord. You know our hearts. You know where we've been, where we're at, and where we need to go. So, Lord, we ask that your Spirit would fill us, lead us, and guide us. That we would, in fact, Lord, follow you. So we thank you for this time. We thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. In Christ we pray. Amen.